Great stuff. I've spoken to a couple of people, and they said it was really, really an amazing sermon. So I'm sorry I missed it. I was up in East London, had the privilege of ministering at Pastor Andre's church, the morning and the evening service. I coincidentally spoke on the same topic, intimacy with the Lord. But it was so good being with Pastor Andre and just experiencing their church. Pastor Andre and Sonika were here earlier this year, and they led what we call the Holy Spirit Impact Weekend with us. And I told a couple of people that the thing that was so exciting for me was to see that which they came to do here and share with us is a reality back home. Okay, so there's one thing when you're speaking about something and you're kind of selling something, promoting something, but you don't live it. It's another thing when you go to their church and you see, okay, the whole church is like them. They're all crazy. They're all radical for Jesus. They're all just coming with testimonies of people that they approach in the Pick and Pay and the ShopRite and the Woolworths. They're really living out that which they came to share with us this morning. And that was great for me. I think the highlight for me was being in their intercession before their service. Their church is quite a bit bigger than ours, but the intercession room that they have before the time is as big as this hall. And so they basically have a service before a service. And just to be part of that and just to experience just the faith that the church is walking in. And I think because there's so much faith, that's why they see the number of miracles. That's why they see the breakthrough. So I tell you, I went there thinking I need to go and give something. But I actually went there just to be filled up and just to come back inspired and challenged. So it's so good to be with you guys this morning and just to share what's on my heart. One of the highlights for me was being in that intercession and declaring this one song together. It's a song that's called "This Is How I Fight My Battles," and we're gonna be singing a little bit later and just reflecting on those words. But essentially, it's a song that's meant to be sung in the valley of our lives. What to sing, what to say, how to act when you find yourself in the valley. And so, this morning, I'm wanting to share a very short message with you. Called Happy Valley. Happy Valley. I think there's a little slide up there with a valley. Well, there was a while back. I remember growing up and going on holiday and going camping at a place called Happy Valley. Okay, some of you might know where that is. But going to this place called Happy Valley, and Happy Valley was a happy valley for a kid growing up there. It was this, we would camp right on the top of the hill there by the valley, and we would just experience just the joy of kind of the festive season playing out in that valley. So the whole town, the whole city's activities took place in this valley called Happy Valley. And so at nighttime, they would have these string lights that would go all the way down. It was about a kilometer and a half, and it was for a kid. This was so exciting because it was these little Disney animated things that were lit up in lights. Okay, so this is before the days of flat screen TVs and fancy things. They just had these little lights, and then you would walk down this long valley, and as a kid, you would say, "Oh, there is Mickey Mouse." And there is Donald Duck and Goofy, and as you would go down, you would recognize all these little cartoon figures. Very exciting, and there's monkeys all over the place, and frogs, and little animals, and that was my kind of experiences growing up in this valley. And then, like I said, the city would organize festivities and activities. Then you'd have bands playing there at night, and so growing up, this place was just a place of joy for me as a child, and it was really a happy place, and Happy Valley till this day is my happy place, or one of my happy places. But the Bible also speaks about the valley, and usually when the Bible speaks about the valley, it's not in the context of a happy valley. Normally when the Bible refers to the valley, it's normally within the context of a place of challenge. Normally a place where there are struggles. Normally where there's some army that's lined up to fight with you in the valley. And normally when you're in the valley, all you're trying to do is get out of the valley. Make it through the valley. Lord, protect me as I go through the valley. And so normally the context of a valley in the Word is a place of challenge. And this morning I'm wanting to share around what we should do, what I believe the Word says we should do when we find ourselves in the place of the valley. And so the first place that one of our psalmists find himself here is in a valley in Psalm 23. Have we got those scriptures up there? Okay, I'm just going to read it for us. Psalm 23, it says, "The Lord is my shepherd, I lack nothing. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He refreshes my soul. He guides me along the right paths for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the darkest valley, I will fear no evil. For you are with me, your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup runs over." I think it's probably the most well-known psalm. Psalm 23, we find read out at weddings, at funerals, at many different occasions. And I think if there's really a psalm that most people would say that they know, it's Psalm 23. And that's the challenge with a psalm like this, is because we think we know it, but actually there's so much in there that I believe the Lord still wants to reveal to us. And essentially the psalm is talking about three things, okay? It's talking about three different scenarios, three different stories that are playing out in the psalm. The first story goes about a shepherd and his sheep. The second story is about the traveler and his companion, which happens to go through the valley. And the third story that plays out is the one of the host and the person that's invited to come and take their place at the table. And so the first part is the happy part. Let's call the first part Happy Valley. Okay? The Lord is my shepherd, lack nothing, green pastures, quiet waters, refreshment of the soul. I think we all like that part of the psalm. He's guiding me right paths for his name's sake. It's really positive. The first part of the psalm, the shepherd looking after the sheep, taking them where the water is, taking them where the food is, provision, protection, positive part of the psalm. But then the clouds, the ominous clouds start building up on the horizon of the psalm. And we realize that the psalm doesn't end there. And we find ourselves being told about a valley. In fact, it's not just a dark valley, it's the valley of the shadow of death, which means it's literally the place of death. And so the scenario changes, and David writes here, even though I walk through the darkest valley, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. And so what happens in the second part of the psalm is we move from the comfort of the pastures, we move from the comfort of the quiet waters, and we progress into the valley. And the amazing thing here is that David emphasizes just how God moves with a person as they go into the place of challenge. Note the word, he becomes you. So in the beginning, the shepherd, he is leading me and he's taking me here. And when I move through the darkest valley, it's like he comes alongside me and he's with me. Even though I walk through the darkest valley, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod, your staff, they comfort me. And lastly, you prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. If there was one person who was qualified to write about the valley, I believe it was King David. He found himself in a couple of valleys in his life. Let's go and have a look at that next valley. I call it the scary valley. Here in 1 Samuel 17, and we don't have time to read all of it, but it says, "And Saul and the men of Israel were gathered together, and they encamped in the valley of Elah and drew up in battle array against the Philistines. The Philistines stood on a mountain on one side, and Israel stood on a mountain on the other side, with a valley between them." So the writer of the song, the writer of the psalms, it's not like he's a stranger to valleys. I would say that he probably found himself in the scariest valley the Bible describes. If you go and read the account in 1 Samuel of this fight that plays out, you will realize that a certain thing was prevailing and paralyzing an army. I've preached about this before, but for 40 days, the champion of the Philistines goes out and he intimidates the Israeli army. And the thing that cripples them is fear. They're scared of what they see. They're scared of this freak of nature. They're scared of this giant and his voice kind of booming out across the valley. And he's intimidating them. So much so that for 40 days, there is nobody from the Israeli army that's willing to go and fight him. We find ourselves in a valley of fear. And a young boy goes out and says to Saul, I will go. I will go and fight this Philistine. And everybody says, but you can't. You're too young. You're too small. You don't know about war. This man is a man of war from his youth. You are but a youth. This guy's been fighting since he's young. And so in a valley of fear, something happens. One guy gets it. That this fight is not just a fight in the natural. One guy remembers how many times God has delivered them as the nation of Israel. One guy chooses to see the situation differently. It's not like they're not in the valley. They are in the valley. It's not like there's somewhere to go. You just got to go forward, in the valley, down. And if you make it, you get up the other side. Otherwise, you die in the valley. So if there's one guy that's qualified to write about a shadow, the valley of the shadow of death, it's David, because it's not like he found himself in a valley where other people weren't scared. Everybody else was scared. He found himself in the valley of the shadow of death. They were all scared because they thought they were going to die. The odds were against them. The man was too intimidating. This morning I want to ask you, do you find yourself in a valley? And my guess is that I think there are a few people here that are finding themselves in a valley in their lives. Not everybody. Some of you are on the mountaintop and praising Jesus and you can see everything and the Lord is with you. But he's with you in the valley as well. And that's what I'm wanting to share with you this morning. Is what do you do when you find yourself in the valley? What do you do when you feel paralyzed? Lord, do I go forward? Do I go backwards? Do I go side? Which way do I go? Right now, Lord, I can't see. I don't know what to do. And this is what the teaching around the valley tells us. The first thing that you do when you're in the valley is you walk. Somebody once said, when you're going through hell, don't stop. When you're going through hell, don't stop. And so David speaks about when I walk through the valley. You're not going to get out of the valley unless you keep walking. And unfortunately, a lot of us, when we find ourselves in the valley, we just like, we do the ostrich thing. We want to put our head in the sand. We want to pull the duvet cover over our head and say, this day is not here. It's not here. It's still nighttime. I can still sleep. And we find ourselves wishing the day away. It's called escapism. You might find yourself just watching series after series, or you might find yourself in the fridge just eating whatever. Whatever you can do just to distract yourself from reality, from the fact that you find yourself in the valley, even though you don't want to be in the valley. David says, walk. I remember, I've shared this story a couple of times, but when me and my family climbed the Kilimanjaro, it gets really hectic at the end. The rest of it's actually a breeze. But for about 48 hours, it's pretty intense. You basically walk with and don't sleep for 3 days. And you get to the highest point when you've slept the least and you've also eaten the least, because you don't want to eat because your body doesn't want to take in any food. But I remember getting kind of to the top of the crater wall. And we thought, many people thought they'd reached the summit of Kilimanjaro. And then you realize it's right on the other side of the crater. And you have to actually walk around this crater because the highest point's on the other side. And apparently that's when most of the people kind of conk out mentally. Because they didn't do the reading, they didn't do the homework, and they realized, okay, you climb to Gilman's Point and then you actually have to walk all the way to Uhuru Peak, which is still an hour and a half. I remember my brother hadn't done the reading. And so we get to Gilman Point, and I know we're still, the toughest part is ahead. And we get to the top, and he thinks we've summited. And we need to break the news to him. No, it's still an hour and a half. And he just went and sat down, and he said, I can't do this. He can't do this. And it took a lot of effort from us and the porters to kind of get him up and say, look, you're going to make it. We're nearly there. Come, get up. And so often when we find ourselves in that place where we think we've made it, then we still need to push through. You've got to keep walking. You've got to keep walking. That's the first thing that we learn from David is, when you find yourself in the valley, keep walking. The second thing is, feasting in the valley, and this is counterintuitive. This doesn't make sense. Richard, you just told me when I'm in the valley, I just got to keep going. Just put my head down, and just keep going until I make it out of the valley. And this is the amazing thing about God. He finds us in the valley. He meets us in the valley. But even more, he says, I prepare a table for you in the presence of your enemies. It's not like he's saying, just push through, just overcome. He's saying there in your weakest moment, there in your toughest challenge, I want you to know me just not just as overcomer, not as just deliverer. There I want you to do the thing that's counterintuitive. I want you to come sit. I want you to come sit at the table. And in the midst of your valley, and in the midst of your enemies, while your enemies are around you, and while everything is saying, get up and run, I want you to sit. And there, experience my providence, my provision, my protection. And you eat while they watch you. We're not talking about natural eating. We're talking about spiritually. Can I have one amen in this place? In that place of challenge, in that place where you think you shouldn't be experiencing the Lord's provision, right there He wants to speak to you. Because what's the amazing thing about a table? A table is not just about the food. In our house, the table is about the conversation. The table is about the fellowship. The table is about the communion that we experience together. We were sitting last night again, and I've shared this before, but our table is becoming the highlight of the family gatherings. And the reason why it's the highlight is because it's the place where the little one is just expressing who she is. And last night she starts making grappies, and then me and Jolene look at each other and we say, are we going to stop this now, or are we just going to let it go? Because when we let it can go anywhere. And last night we decided we're going to let it go. But I tell you, about 10, 15 minutes later, you know, the kids are laughing so much that we actually just have to watch out that they don't choke from the food, because they're back. He says, you know when you laugh and there's no sound coming out? That's what was happening. at our table. And I thought to myself, because I'm really, as a parent, I'm trying to get discipline right. I'm trying to get manners right. I'm trying to teach my kid manners. Trying to tell them, my biggest fear at this stage is that they go and eat at somebody else's house. I'm just like, Lord, I don't know what's going to happen. Anything can happen. Because right now at our table, it's the place where we laugh. Okay? It's the place where I suppose we're giving space for the personalities to come out. So we're trying as parents to get the balance right. Manners, this is how you hold your knife and fork. This is how you eat. This is, you don't chip in when somebody's speaking. But yes, there must be space for our personalities to come out. For there to be fun and laugh. I want to tell you the amazing thing about the table. The amazing thing about what David's writing about here is that we can experience who God is in the midst of our challenges. I want to tell you that the valley is the place of growth. We don't want the valley. When I hear valley, I run away. Lord, not another valley. I've had a couple of valleys. I don't want another valley. I like the mountain where I can see. I like being on the top where I feel in control. Lord, it's not unknown. I can survey my landscape. I can see where we're going. Lord, I can see where you're taking me. In the valley, it's all closed up. It's normally dark. In the valley, you gotta trust the Lord for one step in front of the other. So we don't like the valley. But the valley is where we grow. And so if I look back at my valleys, I say, thank you, Lord, because that's where I grew. And what I learned in the one valley, I apply in the next valley. And so some of us are going through valleys, and we learned a couple of hard lessons, and then we go to the next valley, and we go and bump our heads in the next valley. And the purpose of the valley is so that you grow in the valley, so that when you get to the next valley, you don't make the same mistakes. Amen? Amen. So, number three, we declare in the valley. How did David overcome his valley? The way David overcame in his valley, yes, was eventually a sling and a few stones. That was the end result. But a lot more attention is paid to what David said in the valley. So I want to say to you this morning, the valley is a place where you speak. You either speak life or you either speak death. I don't know how many people were in the Israeli army, but I would imagine a good couple of thousand. Everybody except one, 99.99999% were speaking death and fear, and saying, we will not make it through. We will not get to another valley. Except one teenager that runs in and speaks life. I want to tell you this morning, if you find yourself in the valley, you have a choice. The weapons of our warfare are not slings and stones and javelins and spears. Paul says, the weapons of our warfare are mighty in God. He says, put on your armor. Put on the helmet of salvation. Gird your waist with truth. Put on the breastplate of righteousness. Have your feet ready with the gospel of peace. Above all, take the shield of faith and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. The way we declare, the way we warfare in the valley is through our mouths. When Jesus was tempted by Satan, when he had the one-on-one confrontation, Jesus didn't whip out a sword or a spear of a javelin, try and fight Satan. When Satan came and challenged him, the way Jesus fought Satan was with the word of God. And how do you get the word of God out? Through your mouth. Some of you need to start speaking in your valleys. And that's what this morning is about. I've purposely structured the service that we're going to do things different. I'm first going to preach, and then we're going to worship. Because your breakthrough is going to happen in a few minutes' time. You can choose whether it's going to come or not. You can choose to walk in faith like David walked. Or you can choose to be stuck in your valley, intimidated. This morning, the choice lies before you. So as the band comes up, I'm wanting to read the words of that song that I shared with you earlier this morning. It's a song by a band called Upper Room. And it's called Surrounded. And it says, "There's a table that you've prepared for me in the presence of my enemies. It's your body and your blood you've shed for me. This is how I fight my battles." Verse 2 says, "In the valley I know that you're with me. And surely your goodness and mercy follow me. So my weapons are praise and thanksgiving. This is how I fight my battles." I've been reflecting on this song for about a week now. I tell you, I've been listening to it over and over. When I wake up at night, this thing's on autoplay in my head. In the day when I'm driving, this thing is just kind of playing in my spirit. And the words are so powerful. It's the words that I've been sharing this morning, saying, "In the presence of my enemy, you've prepared a table for me." The table that we get invited to is the finished work of Jesus. His body broken, his blood shed. I said we're going to have more communion. We're going to have more communion this morning. I want you to think about what you're going through this morning. If you find yourself in the valley, the table that the Lord invites you to this morning is his finished work. You bring your battles, you bring your valley over the bread and the wine this morning. Some families need to pray together this morning. Some husbands and wives need to pray for their marriages here this morning. Bring it before the table this morning. Some business owners need to bring businesses before the Lord this morning. Do it over the bread and the wine. Bring Jesus into the midst of your valley. Psalm 23 starts with the fact that there's one leading us, a shepherd leading his sheep. The valley section of the psalm is when the shepherd and our leader finds himself next to us. I want to say to you this morning, there's some people that feel they're alone in the valley. You're not alone. God said he will never leave us or forsake us. Amen. So we're going to declare this song together. The song's chorus is, "This is how I fight my battles. I fight my battles over the bread and the wine and the finished work of Jesus, declaring what his word says, and with praise and thanksgiving." That's what that verse says. My weapons are praise and thanksgiving. This is how I fight my battles. Is anybody finding themselves in a valley this morning? Let's just raise a hand there. Anybody else? Let's stand together.